I'm Afshin Rattansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE amidst genocide in this region and the threat of a nuclear war in Europe. This week, the lame duck Biden-Harris regime greenlit the firing of US Army-guided long-range weapons on nuclear-armed Russia. A pathetic response to Trump winning US elections on a platform of ending the war through negotiation. Russian television is already discussing the wiping out of British cities. Germany, as well as NATO's newest member, Sweden, has issued nuclear war guidance to its citizens. Consistent supporter of the working classes of the United States, an opponent of war, Jimmy Dore, host of The Jimmy Dore Show, joins me again now from Los Angeles. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming back. You're obviously too important for this show. You haven't been on since February 2023. You're, what, 3 degrees of separation from Donald Trump, as far as I can tell. But more on that later, and more on genocide later. But who thought we were going to be celebrating tweets like Donald Trump Jr. said the other day, the military-industrial complex seems to want to make sure they get World War III going before my father has a chance to create peace and save lives. Tucker Carlson said a lame duck president just started a hot war. All of us are very close to being killed. I mean, this is the kind of thing I used to hear on The Jimmy Dore Show. Your take on, your take really on whether Trump will take office or Genocide Joe will, and Holocaust Harris will kill us all before January 20th.
Well, I know one of the first things that Trump did after his election win was he called President Putin and he called Zelensky.
Although that wasn't true, actually, it turned out. The Putin called him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That was, there are all these leaks coming out, aren't they? But go on. Yeah, he obviously did call people.
And so, you know, the only hope we have is that Putin shows restraint, and that he's the adult in the room, and that he can hold off somehow until Donald Trump becomes president. You know, it's just amazing that so often what the establishment media in the United States tells us is the exact opposite is true. And one of the things that is the opposite is that Donald Trump is a reckless maniac who can't be allowed to have his finger on the nuclear button, and that Joe Biden is the sane grown up in the room. And it turns it's the exact opposite. Joe Biden and the neocons that surround him in his administration, Antony Blinken and those types, have been constantly escalating war everywhere. There's this they have a crazy idea that they that Russia was way weaker than they thought it was. And that kind this is an economic war. This is an economic proxy war. And they thought that they could split up, balkanize Russia, and sell it off to places like BlackRock and State Street and Vanguard, like they're doing to Ukraine, which is what's happening. Half their farmland have been already sold off, while you know half a million of their young men have been slaughtered for that. And in the United States, it's sold as fighting Putin. That somehow, even though, and people don't know anything about the war because of the media doesn't tell them the origins of the war. They don't tell them that this has been provoked by NATO and that we wanted this war. They don't tell them that we blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. The thing that is really the most shocking to me, Ashvin, is that Europe goes along with this. That why would Germany, you know, the economic engine of Europe, why would they allow the United States to blow up the pipeline, which gives them cheap power? Whereas I don't know what it serves them. I just don't understand. I was in Germany earlier this year in April, and the people of Berlin seemed to, the people who I met anyway, who come to my shows, seemed to be pretty awake to what exactly going on, and that their government is just under the thumb of NATO and the United States for whatever reason. I really can't figure it out. So hopefully, we have to rely on Putin to be the adult in the room, for him to be the rational, sane actor and to show restraint. And, you know, he is a rational actor, and I think he will. But again, you never know how much more that NATO, Joe Biden and his neocon administration is going to poke the bear. So we'll see what they, you know, the what it seems like is what they're trying to do is start a war that Donald Trump can't stop. And we'll see. I hope he can. Fingers crossed.
Although, of course, there's pressure at home for Putin and the Duma for him to respond in the way that his new nuclear doctrine suggests. What about, for all what you said about Trump, What about these picks? Will they follow Trump's orders? Marco Rubio, famously, Mike Waltz, Pete Hegseth. Waltz, his national security advisor pick, said Trump's plan was to take the handcuffs off the long-range weapons we provided to Ukraine. What have you thought as these appointments have been announced? I don't know, Rubio's family left Cuba under Batista. So I don't know whether he has a poster of Che Guevara on his wall. I'm not sure. No, I mean, these people are clearly neocons who don't support the peace that was talked about by Trump, at least.
Well, it seems to me that Marco Rubio, at least, was that was a gift or a payback to Sheldon Adelson's widow, who gave $100 million to Donald Trump for his campaign. And it seems like he will, he's weak, even though he is, his history has been neocon. I'm pretty sure he voted against the last round of funding for Ukraine. And it seems to me that he's there, he will be, carrying out the Trump, whatever his wishes are. So the Trump policy, it seems like Marco Rubio will be there to do that. The same thing with his Secretary of Defense.
Pete Hegseth.
It seems like these people are there to serve Trump. And Trump, he did get a mandate to end these wars. He was an anti-interventionist. This is why the establishment hates Donald Trump in the first place. The reason why we had the Russiagate, as we call it in the United States, why they accused him nonstop of being compromised and a traitor to our own country and working with Putin and Russia was because that was the only card they had to play, because he got elected on ending our foreign wars, our interventionist wars, our regime change wars, which is the same reason why the establishment freaks out over Tulsi Gabbard, right? Tulsi Gabbard made her name telling the truth about the Syrian war and the gas attacks, right? So they wanted Barack Obama to bomb Syria and to do another decapitation like they did in Libya, like they did in Iraq. How'd those turn out? And so they did the same thing. And Barack Obama said he had a red line in Syria of gas attacks. And so, of course, that's the first thing that the CIA engineered through ISIS and ISIL and al-Nusra, which is what we were in bed with in Syria. People think we're fighting them. We were actually working with them. The CIA and the Pentagon were often funding two different terrorist organizations inside Syria, and then they would end up fighting each other. That's not speculation. That was actually printed on page 78 of the Washington Post, so nobody knows about it except people like me. But yes,
it's quite a thing that Tulsi Gabbard will be the head of intelligence, director of national intelligence, overseeing the CIA, and she knows and recognizes what you just said. I don't know whether she's been on your show even.
Yes. Oh, yes. She was a frequent guest on my show when she was running for president in 2019 and 2020. And so, yes, she's, well, it is a thing of, mystery novels and Hollywood movies, where just a few weeks ago, she was being followed around airports by spies for the American government. And now she's going to be in charge of those spies. She's the head of the DNI. That's kind of amazing. As Walter Kern said, that doesn't even happen in movies.
They'll take you off the list. She'll take you off the list then.
We'll see. I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Just quick, I do want to go to international affairs, the rest of the world, but on your hemisphere then, just very briefly, I think, will Trump realize that Rubio was planned wars on Cuba, Nicaragua, countries of the progressive left in your hemisphere that produce immigrants because of sanctions imposed by the kind of policies that Rubio has advocated? Do you think he understands that there's going to be more people being smuggled across the border if Rubio's policies against Latin America and Central America actually happened under Trump administration, or he doesn't understand that?
My hope is that he understands it. My hope is that he has enough people around him like Bobby Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard to tell him those things. Unfortunately, his first term, he was on board for that Latin American policy. He actually acknowledged Juan Guaido as the president of Venezuela, invited him to the State of the Union speech when nobody in Venezuela acknowledged Juan Guaido as the leader of that country. So does he, you know, the problem is that Donald, you know, Trump is a billionaire also, right? So he's not necessarily a man of the people. He's just a little bit closer to it than the current regime in America and the current establishment, right? And so they can't control him. So he's a bit of a wild card. So again, all I can do is say my fingers are crossed, and he does have some good people around him, right? He does have, you know, Bobby Kennedy ran on anti-interventionism. Tulsi Gabbard got kicked out of the Democratic Party for telling the truth about Syria and the gas attacks. That's how they smeared her as a Russian. They're currently doing the same thing. They're currently saying that she's in the pocket of Putin and Russia, and that's all they have. So that's a good sign. It's a good sign when the establishment freaks out at people like Tulsi Gabbard, Bobby Kennedy, Matt Gaetz, at their appointments, right? It's the appointments when the establishment doesn't make a ruckus. Those are the ones you need to worry about. So I hear what you're saying. Does Donald Trump know that our imperialist policies is what actually leads to immigration? So what we just had a thing during the campaign where there's 20,000 Haitian immigrants into a town in Ohio, which is right in this, Central America, Midwest America. And there a town of like 50,000 people, 20,000 Haitian immigrants came in there, and they took over a lot of their manufacturing jobs. And J.D. Vance and Donald Trump spoke on this extensively about the problems that this caused. But what they didn't do was talk about what caused those Haitians to be so desperate to leave their own country, to come to the United States and take those manufacturing jobs, right? So it used to be we would outsource those jobs to places like Haiti. Now we're just insourcing the labor to undercut our own workforce in the United States. I talked about it. I did videos and segments on what J.D. Vance will never tell you, that is that those, 7 million people have left Venezuela in the last couple of years, and a lot of those people came to the United States desperate economically. And why? Because of the sanctions that the United States economic hitmen have imposed on Venezuela. And the whole point is to create pain in the populace so they will have enough economic pain that they'll come together, and then through billions of dollars of CIA money, they will foment a revolution, overthrow the leader of Venezuela, so then the United States can install a puppet, so then the United States economic hitmen and corporations can steal their natural resources. You know, I tell my audience that there's more oil underneath Venezuela than there is in Saudi Arabia, and when I found that out, I knew that there was just a matter of time before we had to bring some democracy to Venezuela, because that's how they always do it. They always dress it up as bringing democracy or saving democracy, which is what they're talking about in Ukraine, even though there isn't any democracy in Ukraine. Zelensky's ruling as an unbelievable authoritarian dictator. So hopefully, you know, it's not a fluke that he pointed Tulsi Gabbard. I think that's real. I think Matt Gaetz, I think Bobby Kennedy. So he definitely has the ability to, if he doesn't understand what's causing this immigrants coming to the United States, our immigration problem, if he doesn't understand what the consequences of Marco Rubio type foreign policy is in Latin America and Central America, he has people there to tell him. And so I think once he figures it out, you know, he's more about deals. He's not so much about overthrowing governments and, yes.
Well, Jimmy, I'll stop you there. More from the legendary comedian and host of The Jimmy Dore Show after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the legendary comedian and host of his eponymous show, Jimmy Dore. Jimmy, in part one, we were talking about optimism on some of the picks, Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr., who's vowed to take on Big Pharma and take on arguably the vested interests even more powerful than the military-industrial complex when it comes to Big Pharma. But, of course, in this region, it is the genocide. And we know RFK Jr., has posed with Shmuley Botek, who's been on this show. We know Tulsi Gabbard has changed her policy on Israel. I don't know how much money they got from Sheldon Adelson's widow. Do we have to expect that all the Palestinians will be killed ahead of the inauguration? Is that how sad and desperate and appalling the prospect is for Palestine? And of course, they're bombing Lebanon, they're bombing Iraq, they're bombing Yemen, they're bombing Syria just in the past few days, and Iran.
Well, I know as when I woke up this morning, I know there was a vote in the UN Security Council to call for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. I don't know what the result of that is as of this.
The United States vetoed it. It was the only country to veto the resolution for an unconditional ceasefire.
So what's maddening to me is that the people of the United States don't rise up over this. And there was lots of people who were who I know who consider themselves liberals who were unapologetically supporting the Harris nomination candidacy for president, even though she had vowed to not change anything and she's vowed to keep funding. She was against an arms embargo. And when I would ask those people, do you not care about a literal genocide happening in, you know, the same people who wag their finger at people like Viktor Orban, who's not committing a genocide, are saying, doing everything they could to get Kamala Harris elected, who was committing a genocide and currently is. And they said, well, you know, it's important for immigrant rights, or, you know, what's Donald Trump's going to do for the LGBTQ community and the trans community. And I was like, well, I would think that people would not put migrants' immigration status or LGBTQ ahead of a literal slaughter of children. But they did. And that's why what's going on is being allowed to go on, because people prioritize domestic policy over foreign policy. I made the case that you have to make whoever is in power committing a funding that genocide, you have to make them pay a price for it. And that's why you can't give your vote to Kamala Harris. And so the thing is, it doesn't look bright for them for at all. It looks horrible. It looks like Harris is going to keep giving Netanyahu whatever he wants. But the only thing I can point to that gives any a modicum of hope is that I found a videotape where Donald Trump talked about his meeting with the head of the PLO and how much he got along. And he always thought that the PLO was going to be the impediment to a peace deal. And then he had a meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, and in 3 minutes he realized that the impediment wasn't the PLO or the Palestinians, but the impediment was Benjamin Netanyahu, who doesn't want a deal. And so I even have a video, an audio tape of him saying, F Benjamin Netanyahu. That's President Trump saying that. So I think, you know, Trump did the Abraham Accords, and his whole thing, as I was saying before the break, is that he's not a warmonger. You know, he might be corrupt, Donald Trump, but the way I put it, or I've heard other people put it, is that he's New York City real estate corrupt. He's not neocon warmongering, killed people for money corrupt. And so that's why he had an aversion to starting a new war in his first administration. And he likes to find deals. And he says right out, I can get along with these tough guys. I can get along with dictators. And we have a lot of killers in our own country. And so I think the only hope that there is for the Palestinian people is that Donald Trump is going to enforce some kind of deal and some kind of peace deal.
What do you get from? I know that you were interviewed by Tucker Carlson. That's why I said you were three degrees of separation from President Trump. You are, because I know that Tucker Carlson has been on your show as well. You know, when we look at Mike Huckabee and being the new ambassador to Israel, and Pete Hegseth, who has some sort of cross of believing that the Al-Aqsa Mosque will be destroyed and the landing pad of the next Messiah and stuff. Will they be fired if they continue that kind of evangelical religious stuff, which relies on the extermination of all Muslims and things like that? Will they just be fired and your deal will be the strategy? The Trump deal-making will be the strategy rather than having people like that in there? Because they're very religious. I mean, they're evangelical Christians who clearly believe that the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem must be destroyed, and I don't know, all the Palestinians must be killed as part of gospel, not gospel, as part of apocrypha.
Yeah, I mean, Huckabee's a bigger zealot than any Jewish Zionist I know. I mean, he goes way beyond the pale. Will they be fired? I'm not smart enough to know something like that. But, you know, again, hopefully those people are, you know, he appointed Huckabee, Rubio, fingers crossed, as a, you know, a thank you to the Adelsons. Who knows? And Trump, you know, for better or for worse, is his own man. And I think that he will, you know, if they don't do his bidding, I think that hopefully, again, this is all wishful thinking. It's the all we have. I don't like to live without hope. So I try to look at the most hopeful scenario. And the hopeful scenario is that Donald Trump will want a deal imposed for peace. And that he'll instruct those, you know, he'll instruct Huckabee to carry it out. And if he doesn't, he'll, you know, he will be fired. That's my guess. I'm not great at predictions, but that's just my hope. That's more of my hope. And, what needs to happen is that MAGA, the Donald Trump's, you know, I have, when I go out and I tour all over the country, I just did a week tour through Kentucky and Ohio, where J.D. Vance is from. And the people that come to my shows, the people who support and voted for Donald Trump, which is like half of my audience, they're not on board for the Israel project. They're not on board for this bombing and slaughter of the Palestinian people. And so what needs to happen is those people need to rise up and now pressure Donald Trump. You know, you're there to make, if you have any pressure, do it. Let's exert it. And so if that happens, I think that helps the chance. Will that happen? I don't know. I think it might. A leader needs to emerge, you know, on the ground from the ground up. But yeah, it's, you know, Tulsi's flip-flop on this was the most kind of incredible thing to see. But, you know, I want to live with hope, and all we can do is wait and see. I have a feeling. I really do. I could be proven 100% wrong about this, but I have a feeling that Donald Trump has a deal in mind to impose on Israel, Gaza, and Netanyahu, and force him to take it.
Well, ironically, the only reason we know really about the Holocaust in Gaza is Elon Musk's Twitter, because Meta has been censoring it. You don't see the pictures every minute on CNN or MSNBC or all those failing television channels you have in your country. Can we at least look forward to the First Amendment being back in your country? Because I know your show has been subject to problems with it regards the First Amendment, censored by Google, YouTube, just general censorship whenever you mention anything about Big Pharma, when you mention things about the Russia hoax. Is the First Amendment back?
Well, it's a little bit more back. I mean, that's the irony, right? So Elon Musk was the darling of the liberal class in the United States, because he was the guy bringing electric vehicles to America. He was an electric car, and everybody's on board with that because it helps fight climate change. And then all of a sudden, he wanted to give a little bit more, not 100%, but a little bit more free speech on his social media platform. And they turned him into a white supremacist, racist, hater, and, you know, the worst, you know, another mini Hitler, all that stuff. It's crazy to see. So there is a little bit, you know, Elon Musk, you know, caved into the demands in Brazil, which was not good. It didn't make me feel good to see that. But there is more.
Lula is censoring it, or at least the justice system there.
So Lulu's now under the thumb of the neocons. I'm pretty sure that's how he got out of prison. That must have been the deal he struck.
And he's been on our show. People can look up our interview with Lula, ironically censored by Google, YouTube, where he said the Americans overthrew him, but perhaps he's changed.
Yeah, well, so what happened in Brazil was that they thought Lula was a little too far left, so they put him in prison, and they thought the center-right candidate was going to win the election. And then the far-right candidate, Bolsonaro, won, which they called the Trump of Brazil. And then the establishment, meaning the economic hitmen who run the Western world, didn't know what to do. So the only way they could beat Bolsonaro at the ballot box was to let Lula back out of prison. And he then did beat Bolsonaro. And then they immediately did their own version of January 6th in Brazil that they did here. And the reason why they did this pretend insurrection in Brazil, where they said that Bolsonaro organized and led an insurrection against their government, so was so that they could say that he did that, so they could make it illegal for him to ever run for president again, which is what they tried to do to Donald Trump here in the United States, except Donald Trump outsmarted them. He didn't play along, and he called for peace on January 6th and he told people to protest peacefully. So they couldn't do that. That's what they wanted, but they still used to criminalize his political movement called MAGA. So that's the game that's being played with Lula. So Lula played game.
But back to Musk, back to Musk in the final moments of the show. Back to Musk. I know what you were saying, that Musk caved in there, but he did allow us some sort of First Amendment protection, although he has been censoring a little. Does that mean all of those networks in your country, the Hollywood industrial complex, are they all going to start to change and allow new voices of actual working class voices in America? You live in Hollywood. I know you've been on tour. Will we be able to hear the American working class on television, in movies, in theater, in poetry, in books?
That is a big no on this end. No, what they're going to do is keep doubling down and enforcing narratives, and it's a cult. The United States, our entire liberal culture is now cult-like thinking. It's all based on lies. And that's why, there's a popular comedy show in the United States called the Saturday Night Live. And it's been taken over by the what do you call the woke cult mind virus. And it's not funny anymore because it's not based on truth. Comedy is only funny if it's based on truth. It's not. It's based on these hoaxes that the establishment pushes, like Russiagate. That like Big Pharma has our best interests in mind, and that people like Joe Rogan and me are lying to them, where it's the exact opposite. So no, I don't see that happening. I see Hollywood is a tool of the banks. It's a tool of Wall Street. It's a tool of the woke culture of the private equity firms. It's not anything to do with the regular people. And it's very authoritarian and it's very cult-like, and you cannot step out of line from their narrative. And if you do, you are punished severely, as I've been.
Jimmy Dore, we're out of time. We'd love to get your thoughts as the Trump presidency progresses, and perhaps even before the inauguration. Jimmy Dore, thank you.
My pleasure.
That's it for the show. Our continued condolences to those surviving the UK-US EU armed genocide here in this region. We'll be back on Monday with former Trump White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.